This week on Out of Chicago, we have Eric Rogers from the Chicago Architecture Foundation to talk about Open House Chicago. Well, welcome to the Out of Chicago podcast. I'm Chris Smith, and this is the podcast where we talk about everything Chicago photography. So thanks for joining us. Today's going to be fantastic. Like I said, we've got Eric Rogers. He is the program coordinator for Open House Chicago. He and Garrett Karp together run that whole thing. And Eric's going to come on and tell us kind of his favorite places to shoot at Open House Chicago. If you've never done Open House Chicago before, you've got to. It's where they the Chicago Architecture Foundation opens up a whole bunch of the buildings, and you get in places that you normally can never get into. And he's going to talk about it. He's actually a great photographer himself. He's going to talk about it in terms of great places to shoot and give us some tips. And we had a lot of fun doing the interview, so I think you're going to enjoy it. Now, we're also doing an Out of Chicago event the Friday of Open House Chicago. So Open House Chicago is October 17th and 18th. And on that Friday, October 16th, we're doing an event. We wanted to do something where we would get some of the best photographers, architectural photographers, together and learn, teach these methods for shooting architectural photography. And so we're bringing in Julia Anna Gaspadaro. Maybe you heard her last week on the podcast. She's really known as one of the very best fine art architectural photographers in the world, and she's coming in from Athens, Greece. We also have Angie McMonagle from here in Chicago, Tom Rossiter, a commercial architectural photographer and architect, and I should say Julia Anna is also an architect as well. And then we have architect Juan Moreno from Chicago. So we've got four people that are going to be speaking together. And also I'll be there and I'll be helping out with, I think we're going to put a little panel together and kind of talk about the very best places to go shoot and give some more tips for shooting Open House Chicago. So if you're interested in joining us, you just need to go to outofchicago.com/events or just go to outofchicago.com and look for the events page. It's the Architectural Photography Seminar. And guess what? Here we go. We are going to run a special right now. We haven't done this yet. We've just been charging $199 and haven't given any deals. So here we go. If you'd like to sign up, we're going to run a deal until October 1st. So hopefully you're hearing this in September. Until October 1st, we're going to give $50 off. And so it's only going to be $149, and you get all of that, all of those presenters. And afterward, we're also going to go shoot together, and Julia Ann is going to give tips, and all the other photographers will be there helping out. And if we're lucky, Eric and Garrett are going to help maybe get us into a place or two to shoot in the afternoon / evening. So should be a lot of fun, and I hope that you can join us. So here we go. We're going to get right to our interview with Eric Rogers from Open House Chicago and the Chicago Architecture Foundation. All right. I'm here with Eric Rogers. Eric is the program coordinator for Open House Chicago. Welcome, Eric.
Hi.
Hey. How are you? Yeah. Hey, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Tell us about Open House Chicago. I mean, to me, this is the biggest event for Chicago photographers. So tell us about the event.
It is. So Open House Chicago is really, like it says on the tin, it's a citywide open house. This year, there will be more than 200 sites in 18 different neighborhoods all over the city that will be open to the public on a weekend, Saturday, October 17th and Sunday, October 18th. This is actually the fifth year that the Chicago Architecture Foundation is presenting Open House Chicago, and it's grown incredibly every year. Last year, we estimate that we had about 75,000 visitors, so it was really a citywide Lollapalooza-sized event.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Absolutely, and it's such a wonderful opportunity for Chicagoans to get to know their own city. We actually know that a large number of our visitors are going to a neighborhood that they've never been to before,
right.
Which is one of the things as a sort of adopted Southsider that excites me the most about the program, because there are a lot of people who would never come to the South Side, and there's so much amazing stuff for them to come check out down here. And by putting together Open House Chicago, we can literally put all of those cool things on the map for people.
Yeah, and that's what you do. Yeah, because, well, I mean, you guys just came out with the map, the list, and everything else. You got a brand new website this year, right?
We do. This is a complete reboot for us. If people participated in Open House Chicago last year, you might have noticed that our website crashed on Saturday. So we have thrown out the old platform. We have a brand new, completely modern, we are told, crash-proof website that should stay up all the way through Open House Chicago weekend with all the many thousands of people looking at it at all times. And it's a really great mobile experience, which can help you find sites near you, browse things in whatever neighborhood you're in. And you really see everything on the mobile version that you would see on the desktop version, which is something that was not necessarily true before this new platform.
And it's not an app necessarily, right? It's just that you're saying that when you view it in a mobile browser, it's designed for that.
It is. Yeah, it's a fully responsive website, openhousechicago.org. It's really your go-to place for up-to-the-minute news. You know, if a site has to close early the weekend of, if there's a change, a late-breaking site addition, all of that would happen through the website. So it's a great resource for people as they are browsing and participating in Open House. But right now, we just launched it yesterday with a complete list, or a very nearly complete list, of the participating sites for 2015. So at this point, people are just getting a first taste of what they're going to be able to visit in October.
It's like Lollapalooza when they're announcing the lineup, and it's the Open House Chicago lineup. I love it. So
it is, and we would have made a bigger deal out of it if we weren't also launching a new website at the same time.
Right. So you got the website. I know you guys have been going crazy there. You and Garrett that you work with, and I think it sounds like a wonderful job, but I'm sure that you guys are just pulling your hair out over it.
Well, it's very satisfying, and we know what the end product is, and it's something both of us love. It's something that we both did as visitors and then as volunteers before we ever worked on it. So it's definitely a passion project.
That's right. And the other part that I love is that you're not only an architecture guy, but you're a photographer as well. So, you know, we're happy to have you on the photography podcast for sure.
Well, absolutely. So I actually kind of got involved on the Open House Chicago team because they were already familiar with my photography. So an opportunity opened up, and here I am now because of the photography that I was already doing. But it's been an incredible experience for me to get to visit all of these sites over the course of the year as we're putting together this program, and to do a lot of the photography that we use to market the program and advertise the sites.
That's right. That's a part that I forgot, is that you're the program coordinator, but you're also probably, you're doing more photography than anyone else for Open House Chicago, and people go to the website and they're going to see those are your images, and it's got Eric Rogers down at the bottom, and that's you. You said you're a little embarrassed by it, but some great shots on there.
Just a little embarrassed. I'm not used to seeing my name appear that many times in one place.
No, it's awesome. Who wouldn't want to see that? It's great. I mean, especially alongside some amazing photos. So I love it.
Yeah, well, I think we can maybe talk about some of the most exciting sites that are new this year.
That's it. That's why we got you here. Oh, I'm so excited. So, yes, so we got the lineup. Tell us, like, what you're most excited about, because this has been a huge secret. We had lunch with you guys. Angie McMonagle and I had lunch with you and Garrett, and we're like, and you're like, oh, man, we got some great places. We really can't tell you about it. So, you still haven't told me, and I haven't taken the time to look, so I'm excited. Tell us some of these places that you're excited about for this year.
Well, I'll say before I launch into specific places that we still have some great places that I can't quite tell you about. That we're hoping, again, keep an eye on the website. There may be some late-breaking announcements, no promises, but we've got so many amazing sites. We actually just announced one today that was not on the website when it launched yesterday. For the first time ever, the Aon Center will be participating as an Open House Chicago site.
Very cool.
And that's something we're very excited about. There's actually a vacant floor, the 71st floor. So that will be the highest Open House Chicago site in the 5-year history of the program.
That's awesome.
And obviously one that's going to have just incredible views out over Grant and Millennium Park and across the lake. So that's something photographers are going to want to check out.
Almost right over Pritzker Pavilion, I'd guess. Is that quite it, or maybe a little west of there? I'm not sure.
It's pretty much directly north of Pritzker Pavilion, so yeah, you do get a very nice view of down over that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Now, is that, and we'll talk about this, there's, you know, you're able to get access to so many of these buildings. Some of them you can photograph in, some of them you can't, some of them you may be able to sneak in a tripod or something, most of them you can't. Is this one we're going to be able to shoot from?
This is going to be a site where photography is permitted. So when we say that a site permits photography in Open House Chicago, it covers a range of meaning, and we don't always know what all the nuances are there. So I think the most important advice that I can give to photographers when they're visiting a site is that they probably, if they're doing anything other than taking handheld simple shots, they might want to check in with, you know, the building security or whoever else is sort of on duty and managing the site, just to make sure that, you know, if there's a tripod involved, if there's flash involved, if there are things like that, that that's something that the site is okay with, because we don't get into that level of nuance for the general public. But obviously that's something
so many places you're dealing with, for sure. I mean, you're not going to be able to put all that down for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally get that. But just like with anything else, they should be, they just ask. I mean, be polite, ask. And if they say no, you say that's fine. I'll shoot handheld. It's not a problem.
Right. I think the Aon Center, because it's a completely vacant floor, I think at least once you're in that space, you will probably have pretty free rein to do what you want to do photographically. You know, this may be a case because many high-profile downtown office buildings are very sensitive about their lobbies. This may end up being a space where photography is not permitted in the lobby on the way into the Open House Chicago site. And that's something that, you know, people would be informed of in the line.
Right. I forget which location it is on LaSalle. I remember last year they were very, very strict, you know, nothing in the lobby. But once you got past that, they were okay with it.
Yeah. So, the 190 South LaSalle, which unfortunately is not participating this year. They're taking the year off after being one of our busiest sites ever last year.
Yeah. They got some foot traffic through there for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So bring them back. Yeah. That's better. I mean, you bring them every year and everyone gets bored of it. And
We don't want anyone getting bored. We don't want to wear out any buildings either. We want them to like us and come back in the long term. So actually, another site that is going to be returning from last year that every photographer ought to visit is the Oriental Theater, the Broadway and Chicago Theater. It's just a spectacular venue. The decor sort of inspired by Southeast Asian motifs, and it's not something that you ordinarily get to look at very closely, because if you're there, you're usually there for a show and it's dark.
Right. Yeah. Well, do you imagine it probably will still be somewhat dark? I don't know.
It'll be fairly dim. It will be dim. I think they will have house lights on, and they'll probably be turned up about as high as they can go. But obviously spaces like that are not terribly brightly lit for a reason.
Yeah, so if I'm a photographer and I'm trying to shoot in there, what are your recommendations? How am I going to get a shot in there?
I think you'll get your best results, obviously, in a space that sort of dramatic and impressive. A wide-angle lens will go a long way if you really want to capture the breadth of the space.
Yep.
You know, I do believe that when they participated last year, I saw people coming in and out with tripods. And as long as you weren't obstructing anyone else's path, causing a safety issue, I don't think that was a problem for the site. So this is definitely a site where, you know, you would probably benefit from having some kind of a stable support for your camera.
Yeah, and I had some friends that did that and brought tripods, and maybe one recommendation is bring like almost like a tabletop tripod. I mean, you don't want to be setting up a tripod at 6 foot tall. I mean, people aren't going to be happy with you, but set up something shorter or something that might attach onto something, and that's all you're really going to need there. I think that's kind of the way to go.
Yeah, I can actually really recommend the UltraPod or UltraPod 2.
Yeah, I have one. I think I have two.
Almost always have in my camera bag for exactly situations like that where I don't feel like I'm comfortable pulling out or don't want to carry a full tripod. But it can really make all the difference in the world. Obviously, if you're shooting with a tripod, it's probably to your advantage to also bring a remote so that you can trigger the camera without touching it.
Right. Especially on something like that. Like, you're not on your full-size tripod, and just pushing it, the whole thing's going to be shaking a little bit. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So I was lucky enough to spend about an hour shooting inside the Oriental Theater to get our wonderful shots that we wanted to market it like crazy this year. I definitely used a tripod and a remote release to get those photos.
If you need help, you let me know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm jealous. That's awesome.
I think, you know, the one other thing, sort of a tip for sites like the Oriental or some of our churches or things like that, the really just monumental spaces that can be sometimes dimly lit inside, you know, wide angle lens, tripod, remote release. And then if you have the time and the patience, stopping down the aperture to a really small aperture and doing long exposures gets the best results. You get the nice starbursts out of the lights, and that's something I really recommend for some of these sites. Plus, if you're shooting a place like the Oriental during Open House Chicago, there's going to be people constantly moving in and out, and with a long exposure, instead of getting really clear shots of people, you might end up with a little bit more of a blur.
That's good advice. Yeah. So what type, you say a small aperture, like F-16, is that what you're thinking? Something like that?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd recommend?
I've gone all the way to F-22 on a few occasions and done, you know, 30-second exposures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the photos I shot of the new Regal Theater in South Shore for Open House Chicago last year, that theater is extraordinarily dark inside. Not all the lights are working, and some of those exposures might be pushing 45 seconds.
Yeah, but if that's what you need, that's the way to do it. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I always think it's funny when people are like, oh man, I got this $2,000 lens and it shoots at F1.4. I can't wait to go shoot, you know, that church or whatever. It's like, well, sure, but you know, you're not going to have anything in focus. You're going to have such a small depth of field. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And what you're saying, you got to get some sort of support or just rest it on something and get a longer exposure. It's the best way to do it.
That is the best way to do it. Obviously, it's not something that's possible at every site. You know, either the site is not going to want you to do it, or, you know, it's too crowded, or there's just not a good place to do a setup. And, you know, in that case, definitely have a plan B, have an idea for how to photograph a site handheld on the fly.
Yeah. And what would you say then if it gets to that point? What would you recommend?
I mean, I'm not ashamed of really cranking up to a pretty high ISO.
I knew that's what you were going to say. Absolutely. Yep.
I shoot with a Nikon D5100, and with modern cameras now, even an ISO 3200 is pretty tolerable. So some of our shots for the website, I've had to capture on very quick visits where I didn't have a tripod, didn't have time to do setups, you know, was very constrained. And in those cases, I just shot high ISO handheld. And I would love to know if anybody can actually pick those sites out when they're looking at our 200 plus site listings on our website.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I'll challenge our listeners to go out there. Oh, that one's terrible. ISO, that's gotta be 3,200. Terrible.
There's at least one really grainy one that our web designer already called me out on, but we'll see how many people actually notice that.
All right. Oh man, I'm going in. I'm looking for sure. Oh, that's great. You know, I love your suggestion of the UltraPod. That thing's maybe like 6 inches long, right? I mean, you fold it down and there's hardly anything to it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tiny. It actually fits in the outer pocket of my camera bag, doesn't really attract anyone's attention, so you can carry it anywhere. And you know, it's got an adjustable ball head, so you can swivel the camera in all directions. And it's beefy enough that it can support a pretty heavy camera and lens.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite stories, though. I mean, the thing is, you know, 6-7 inches long and folds out, and there's hardly anything to it, and your camera's like 2 or 3 inches above the ground. And I took that. I was with Angie McMonagall, and we were at the Art Institute, and I set up on that thing, and the security guard comes over and puts his arm around me. Sir, you know there's no tripods allowed in here. I was like, oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
Called us a tripod. It's an ultrapod.
Yeah, it's thank you. Yes. Yeah. He goes, no. So I'm like, oh, well, I guess I could just rest it on the ground. It was just as good. But yeah, that's a great suggestion. And it also has a feature where it kind of wraps, you can wrap it around, right? You can wrap it around like a pole or something. Are we thinking of the same thing?
It does have that feature.
It may not hold the full DSLR doing that, but right.
I've never figured out how to use that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I try very hard, but I'll just set it on the floor.
Yeah, no, it was great for that. Yeah. Okay, so that was the Oriental Theater, and you said the Aeon Building. That sounds awesome. Actually, before we move on, if you're trying to get that great shot of Millennium Park and Grant Park and looking out over the lake from the Aeon Building, what tips can you give us for getting a really good shot through the glass there?
Well, that's a little tricky. The Aeon Center, the windows are actually very narrow, just a function of the design of the building. And most likely, I actually have not been up there in a couple of years, but I suspect that it's all double pane glass. And the challenge with double pane glass is that even if you shade the lens really carefully, you could still end up with a reflection on the outer pane.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily have a great answer for that without really going and looking at the glass. Tools that can really help you with this, again, a sunshade sometimes can be surprisingly helpful to just make sure that room lights are not getting reflected on the glass.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a good handy thing to have. Sometimes, though, I just put my hand up over where the lens meets the glass, and that can kind of do the trick.
And that's the first tip is you want your lens right up on that glass. Some people, you know, hold it back a few inches, and that's enough to ruin your shot. The front of your lens must be touching the glass, right? I mean, that's typically what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, that's always what I go for as well. Just try to hold it as close to flush with the glass as possible. If you do that, if your camera's really at a 90 degree angle to the window in all dimensions, then you shouldn't have too much trouble with reflection. Unfortunately, that means that the camera might not actually be framing exactly the shot that
right.
you're trying to take.
Right.
But
that's where you do what you said. It just tips a little, but then you can cup your hand around the part that's away from the glass, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes having something like a scarf or a bandana or something, you can use that to cast some additional shade, if you need to cover a broader area. Something else that is sometimes useful when you are shooting through glass and maybe trying to do something kind of at a funky angle, it might actually be a circular polarizer, which is something that I use pretty extensively on outdoor photography. But it can actually be used in a very targeted fashion to knock out some reflections in glass. So it could be worth experimenting with that if you have one and you find yourself in a situation where you can't really eliminate reflections any other way. Obviously, it's going to darken the image a little bit, so you're going to have to increase the exposure or lower the aperture to compensate. But it can really help knock out some reflections and some ghosting.
Yeah, and like you said, you can experiment with it. I mean, just twist the end of it and just see, is it making a difference or not? If it's not, then it's not helping. But you can see. You can see the effect through the viewfinder or through your live view, whatever it may be, for sure.
Yeah, so, some of our other sites that I think people are going to be really excited to shoot from, one of our long-term favorites has been the Kemper Building.
Oh, yeah, you told us about this. Uh-huh, go for it.
The Kemper Foundation is our presenting sponsor, but they're also really one of our favorite sites. And over the history of Open House Chicago, they've been one of our busiest cumulatively.
But they've also had some of the most complaints because of the glass, right?
They have. So they're... I believe it's a 41st floor observation deck, has basically been unused for decades. And so there was never any reason to replace the glass. It didn't really need to be clear. So as the double-paned glass aged, moisture got in between the panes and made it foggy and cloudy. And so during Open House Chicago in the past, they actually last year put up signs that said the glass isn't dirty, it's just old.
It's just old, yes.
quit complaining, don't tell us to wash our windows. But the very exciting news is that they have actually renovated that 41st floor space, and it has all new windows.
That's awesome.
So photographers who have been frustrated by the cloudy glass at the Kemper Building should give it another shot.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, because I don't think I've ever done that spot because people tell me, you know, you're not going to get a good shot through there. But they keep telling me like the view is just phenomenal. If only we could see through it better. And this year we're going to be able to. I can't wait.
You will be able to see through it quite well. So I anticipate that the lines will be rather long there. And that's definitely a site where it will pay off for you to be a member of the Chicago Architecture.
Yeah, let's talk about that now. This is a good time for it. So if you're actually a member of the Chicago Architectural Foundation, we haven't really said this, but Open House Chicago is part of the Chicago Architectural Foundation. Am I correct in saying that?
Just Chicago Architecture Foundation.
Well, I don't even know what I said differently. Or architectural, is that what I said? Oh, my bad.
Lots of people make that mistake. That's okay.
I get yelled at so many times about if I think when I first started saying the Chicago Botanical Garden, and it's not botanical, come on. So, okay, I'll get this one right too. Chicago Architecture Foundation. And so Open House Chicago is part of that. And tell us the advantages of being a member.
So being a member of the Chicago Architecture Foundation, it comes with a lot of perks. We actually offer more than 80 tours year-round. A lot of them are walking tours. We also offer bus tours, Segway tours, bike tours, and, of course, our famous boat tours.
Which are awesome for photographers. Completely awesome. The boat tours, love them. Yep.
They are. They're a great opportunity to see the city from the river, and highly recommend that if you want to shoot and not be on a terribly crowded boat, go on one of the first ones in the morning on a weekend especially.
Yep.
Because then you pretty much have the run of the upper deck. You're not going to have to shove people out of the way to get your shot. So they have actually sort of emphasized those morning tours as a great opportunity for photographers.
That was the one that I did. That was exactly it. It was great.
But during Open House Chicago, if you are a member of the Chicago Architecture Foundation, you actually receive a priority access pass. And that pass will let you wait in shorter lines at all of our busiest sites downtown, including sites like the Kemper Building. So if you've ever been to Great America or Disney World, you're probably familiar with the Flash Pass
Fast Pass. That's right. That's awesome.
It's ours is a little less high tech. It's a piece of cardboard on a lanyard, but it works more or less the same. And it is increasingly valuable at major downtown sites like the Kemper Building or like another one of our brand new for this year sites that we think is going to be very busy, the Hotel Intercontinental. That has never been an Open House Chicago site. And if you've never seen the ballrooms and my personal favorite, the elevator lobbies in that building, you need to go there.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to. And so that's one you're saying, you know, we want to have that membership and get in that shorter line there. Is that right?
It will most likely be helpful. Many of our busiest sites are near Michigan Avenue and the river, and we think that this is going to join that list this year.
Yeah. Are there some sites still that you must be a member to get into at all?
There are three members-only sites this year out of our more than 200 participating sites. So that's usually, it's a pretty small number of sites, but they are very exciting. So the Charnley Persky House in the Gold Coast, which is the headquarters of the Society of Architectural Historians, it's this beautiful gem of a house that is one of the only sort of complete collaborations of Louis Sullivan and Frank Lloyd Wright. So that will be a members only site. The Cliff Dwellers Club on Michigan Avenue,
right.
Which offers beautiful views out over Grant Park. That will be a members-only site. And a brand new site this year, something that did not exist last year. If anyone remembers the old Tokyo Hotel, it has been renovated and has reopened as the Freehand Chicago, which is sort of a combination of hostel and hotel.
Cool.
But the amazing thing that members get to see there, up on the top floor of the building, it's a 1920s building, there are these two just funky double-height penthouse suites that must have been really special apartments when the building got built, and they've just been renovated in a really interesting period style, and they're super cool. So members of CAF will be able to check out those suites during Open House Chicago.
That's awesome. I mean, the whole thing just feels like you feel like you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. And I just every time you're walking through one of these, I just feel like, all right, I shouldn't touch anything. I shouldn't. I can't even believe I'm here. And the whole thing, it just has such a special feel to it. And I'm sure you felt the same way even before you were part of it.
Yeah, definitely. It's really a privilege to get to go into some of these places. Many of them, never really welcome the public at other times of year, or you would have to pay pretty staggering sums of money to get access to them.
Right.
And we bring that to everybody in Chicago for free, or for close to free, hopefully, if you buy a CAF membership.
Well, sure.
It's very reasonable.
More than worth it. Yeah. Well, how much is that membership?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, but if people want to get them, it's not too late to get. I mean, you could probably get it the day of or day before the Open House Chicago and it'd still be good.
If you get to a site that you absolutely have to see and there's a very, very long line, you can buy a membership on your phone and then you can go straight into the priority access line.
Oh, geez. Well, that's the way to do it if you don't have it. Okay, that's great. All right, give us a couple more. What are your personal favorites coming up for this year?
Well, we've added a couple of really exciting new neighborhoods. So Open House Chicago has a very distinctive neighborhood focus. About two-thirds of our sites are outside of downtown, which is actually kind of unusual. Many of our peer programs in other cities are really exclusively or heavily focused on their downtown areas. But we want to get people out and about and seeing the whole city. So surprisingly, Lakeview has never been an Open House Chicago neighborhood in the previous 4 years. We skipped straight from Lincoln Park to Uptown somehow.
Right.
But there's a lot of great things to see in Lakeview. The Athenaeum Theater is the oldest continuously operating off-loop theater in Chicago. It was built to sort of showcase German folk operas, and it's really a pretty stunning old world looking theater that people I feel like don't necessarily know is there. They don't see that how cool it is if they just go by on the outside. The Music Box Theater, of course, is something that everybody knows, but it's almost always completely dark, and you definitely can't take pictures while you're there to see a movie. But that'll be something that will be open for Open House Chicago. People will be able to really explore the beautiful auditorium and the lobby there that's usually pretty hard to see.
Very cool. Have you shot some there then?
I did briefly, yes. There are, I think, going to be a couple of shots up on our website. I haven't actually looked at that listing yet, so I can't tell you for sure. But Music Box Theater is something that a lot of people love and just have not had the... Oh, yeah. If you look on our website, there's the third photo is a great interior of the auditorium.
Awesome. Keep going.
Another one of our favorites in Lakeview is the old Chicago Inn on Sheffield, just north of Belmont.
Okay.
And it's a renovated old graystone house from about 100 years ago that more or less operates as a bed and breakfast. But the really cool thing is what they've done with the basement. And I don't want to say too much about what it is. What I'll tell you is that you're going to need a password to get through the door when you get there.
All right. This is intriguing for sure. All right, good.
I'd like to have a little bit of mystery there, but well worth checking out. I think a lot of people will have a lot of fun with that. Our other major new addition this year, and this is something that we really tried to keep under wraps as long as we could. We're actually expanding beyond the city limits this year for the first time ever. We'll be including sites in Evanston.
Wow, awesome.
So that's a major change for us. We've always just been within Chicago. But our thinking is that we want people to sort of explore the whole region. And I think Evanston is a little bit underappreciated as a city of great architecture. I certainly, as somebody who had not previously spent a lot of time in Evanston, I didn't know all of the amazing things that were there. Now I have a much better idea, and they'll really, some of the sites that we're featuring in Evanston will really blow people away, I think.
What are a couple highlights there?
The Evanston History Center, which is housed in the Charles Gates Dawes Mansion, is a must-see site. And I didn't even know anything about this before we started assembling this year's Open House Chicago program. But it's a spectacular chateau-esque mansion. It's, in my mind, bigger and more impressive than almost any historic home in the city of Chicago. And Charles Gates Dawes was the vice president of the United States. So we sort of have this great historical connection and this amazing home that you really just have to see. So that's going to be a highlight in Evanston for sure. We also kind of like to joke, if people know a couple of things about the history of Evanston, they've usually heard about the temperance movement and the Women's Christian Temperance Union. The founder and longtime leader of that, Frances Willard, her house is in Evanston, and we'll be showing that. But we kind of joke that we're also going to be covering Prohibition from start to finish because we will be featuring OHC's first distillery in Evanston as well, Few Spirits.
Cool. Very cool.
There'll be 14 or 15 really excellent sites to see in Evanston. It's well worth your while if you're down in the city to hop on a Purple Line Express and get up there, and everything's an easy walking distance.
That's awesome. Oh, that's so cool. Do you mind doing a little bit of a lightning round as far as some places? Like, this sounds, these might be weird questions and you may have already answered them, but like, of all the places, like, what, where are the best views? It's the Kemper Building. It sounds like it's going to be the Aon Building. If we're trying to get a big view of the city, what's one or two other places?
Yeah, I think for big views, another one that's not to be overlooked is the Metropolitan Club at Willis Tower, which is up on the 66th and 67th floor. It's a really cool space on the inside, but obviously in that building, you're going to get some pretty commanding views. So that's a really exciting view. Those are really our tallest sites, some of the more interesting vantage points that I think we're going to feature. The original Sears Tower in Holman Square on the west side,
right?
Will be letting visitors up to the top floor again this year. It was actually under construction last year. But that gives you a really pretty unusual view from out on the west side. So that's a great thing to check out. Down in Hyde Park, the Logan Center for the Arts at the University of Chicago will be letting people up into their performance penthouse, which has a striking view looking down the Midway to the lake. You can see a little bit of the skyline. So that's a great vantage
point. And the campus probably there too, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
it's looking the obvious thing here.
Well, sure. But yeah, no, it's cool because those buildings are so neat looking. Yeah, that's a really cool building. That's some good modern architecture for you. I like that one a lot. Okay. No, those are great views. How about you've mentioned some like theaters and stuff and maybe churches, like of all the like churches, whatever, from a photographer's point of view, like what are the best interiors for like that epic inside, you know, I really hope that I can use my tripod kind of shot. So you think it's like Oriental Theater? What else?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the theaters will be great for that. The Oriental, obviously, the Athenaeum Theater is really stunning and actually kind of a challenge to photograph because it's very tall and not very deep. So that's a bonus round for pros, I think.
The challenge, I like it.
But some of the easy, grand spaces to capture. So the abandoned women's lounge at Union Station is really something unexpected in such a high-profile building. It's kind of this crumbling but grand room right off of the Great Hall. So that's kind of an easy place to get some pretty stunning interior shots. So definitely check that out. I think some of our favorite churches, St. John Cantius is a perennial favorite. St. Mary of the Angels.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Is a really, really just fantastic church that has not been in OHC before. So that's a brand new one for us this year.
That's a beautiful church to shoot. Yeah.
up in Rogers Park, St. Jerome at Polina and Lunt. Doesn't look like it would be that impressive on the outside. It looks like any dozen other Chicago Catholic churches, but it actually has the longest center aisle of any church in the Archdiocese of Chicago. It's really a sort of Baroque extravaganza inside. So that's an unexpected new one that people should check out.
Oh, there's too many to see. This is going to have to be a whole week long.
I could do a whole podcast on churches. The other ones, and I'll do quick drive-bys here. I have to give a plug to South Shore, which just has phenomenal Catholic churches. St. Philip Neri is kind of an Art Deco church with just so much marble, you wouldn't believe it, and a really just unique sanctuary design. Our Lady of Peace on 79th Street, not far from the new Regal Theater, which everyone should also go see, talking about dramatic and amazing interiors. Our Lady of Peace is well worth seeing. And then new this year, St. Michael the Archangel at 83rd and South Shore Drive actually features some of the biggest stained glass windows, I think the biggest stained glass windows in any Catholic church in Chicago.
Wow. So
plenty of amazing churches to go shoot. We could do Open Church Chicago, and it would still have more than 200 sites in it and just be churches. They're great to shoot. They're relatively easy to shoot. They're an approachable entry point for somebody who wants to get into interior, photography of beautiful spaces. They're big, they're dramatic, and you can easily capture that grandeur and that excitement, I think.
That's right. Bring that wide angle lens for sure. Yeah. That's great. So we got some views, we got some churches. How about like in terms of some modern architecture inside? Like, I mean, there's some people that really aren't into the older stuff. Anything come to mind there? That Logan Center, I know, it is a cool one on the inside.
The Logan Center, yeah, that's actually a really great one to check out, and that's one we haven't included in a couple of years. The Godfrey Hotel in the sort of River North Gold Coast.
I did that one last year, yep.
Mm-hmm. That's a really striking and modern piece of architecture that I think is well worth checking out. We're actually going to be adding a trio of brand new residential buildings with deluxe amenities this year that actually several of them offer spectacular views, and I should have thought of them earlier, but they're also pretty striking architecture. So Optima Chicago City Center, which is right near Tribune Tower and the Hotel Intercontinental, was designed by David Hovey and just opened a year or two ago. So that's a pretty cool piece of modern residential architecture. Similarly, the 805 North LaSalle apartment building is a very striking modern building as well, and offers very commanding rooftop views.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think, oddly enough, in a city like Chicago that's so well known for its architecture, we don't necessarily showcase a lot of brand new buildings. And that's something that we struggled a little bit with as we were putting the program together this year. If you're really thirsting for cutting edge architecture, what we do showcase are actually a lot of our architecture firms. So if you look at our downtown site listings, pretty much every major architecture firm that you can think of, Skidmore, Owings & Merrill, Hollibird & Root, Brennan Stuhl & Lynch, BKL, Adrian Smith, Gordon Gill. I shouldn't have started listing them because I'm not going to be able to finish.
But if you want to
get an inside view and talk to some of those architects and see what they've done recently and what they're working on, many of them are participating in the program.
Yeah, and they have like their models set up. It's just so cool to see the work they've done, and the view from a lot of their places is phenomenal too. So it is
frequently good. I'll give the caveat for this audience that most of the architecture firms either prohibit photography entirely in their spaces or severely constrict it.
Yeah,
They're obviously worried about protecting their designs.
Yeah, I've seen most of them, and they're very strict about shooting the models or anything on the inside. But they're just so nice that they, if you're shooting out a window or something, they've always been okay with it.
Well, that's good to hear. I haven't actually gone as an OHC visitor to many of them, so I don't necessarily know how that always pans out.
Yeah, that's been my experience. And the other part of it is that they've just always been so nice and polite and, just happy that, once a year to share everything they're doing with the public. So I don't know. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I would also recommend actually some of our coolest sort of modern or contemporary sites that we're showing off are in buildings that may not themselves be new buildings. But there have been there's been a lot of focus on interesting office spaces over the last few years. And we'll be showing off a few of those. So if any of you have ever been involved in project management, you've probably used Basecamp. And Basecamp is actually headquartered right here in Chicago in the West Loop. And we'll be showing off their space, which it's an old building, but the interior is pretty brand new. Another really cool interior and another company that a lot of people will have heard of, Cards Against Humanity's headquarters. It's actually on Elston Avenue in a very nondescript building. And they've got a pretty funky space in there that I think a lot of people are going to enjoy seeing.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, some of these places, like you walk in and you're like, well, I don't really see anything here, but there's little parts to them. They're like, man, that is so cool. And you get some really cool pictures as long as they're okay with it. So, yeah, I mean, it's just stuff that you don't get to see any other time. I mean, it's a special time of the year for sure. I don't know. Any other last minute words of wisdom for people?
I think the best thing I can tell you, if you've got must-see sites downtown, get a membership or, you're going to burn all of your time waiting in line.
Right.
But for me and the kinds of things I'm interested in, if I were approaching Open House Chicago as just a casual participant, I would really be focusing on the things that are out in the neighborhoods, because those, I think, are really some of the most unsung but impressive assets that this city has. You also don't have to wait in long lines to see all of them.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so excited. You know, I'll just bring it up briefly also that that Friday before, we're doing a seminar strictly on architectural photography. And we're hoping that either you or Garrett can join us. We don't know if it's going to happen for sure. You guys are like busier than anyone else. Of course, you're running this whole thing. But you may possibly get together on Friday and help us out a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah, we definitely hope to be there. It depends on whether there are any fires that we have to put out the day before OAC
or not. It's like 12 hours before it starts or whatever, you know? So yeah, no, we totally get it. But that's going to be a fun time. We're going to have some great architects there and great photographers. And really, like I said, like the best weekend as to be in Chicago as a photographer. And I'm just looking forward to it more than anything else. So can't wait. Hopefully we see you on Friday or see you down there somewhere. So thank you very much for doing the podcast, though. This is awesome.
Oh, my pleasure. Definitely check out our website, and we look forward to seeing some of your photos out and about the weekend of the event.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about that. For those people that are out there shooting, like I'm sure you got, hashtag whatever, how should we be sharing our images?
The hashtag for this year is OHC2015, and we will definitely be keeping a close eye on Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. Yeah. So everyone get their images out there I can't wait. It's going to be great, right?
It will be. I can say with confidence at this point.
Yeah. No. Oh man, I'm so excited. So, good luck with the last few weeks coming up here before the event. And, what do we got? We got just over a month. Is that right?
Just under a month.
You're right. So good luck. And I'm sure as soon as it's over, you'll be planning for the next year. So
that is also true. Watch for the save the date to go out within about a week after OHC 2015.
Oh man. All right. Well, thank you so much. This was Eric Rogers, and this has been great. So thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. See you soon. So if you really want to get the most out of Open House Chicago, you want to join the Chicago Architecture Foundation, and it's $70. I think it's $55 for seniors or for students and $90 for a family membership. Now, with that, I think you can bring a friend along with you. And I've always gone with Howard Frank. He's always brought me. So that gets you into all those great locations. You can get in the shorter line, and there's those few places that you can only get in by having the membership. And if you'd like to join us for our Out of Chicago event on that Friday, it's going to be awesome. I'm telling you, we got Julia Anna Gaspodaro. She's coming in from Greece. I mean, this is crazy. This is like, well, I don't know how else to say it. We're not going to do this again. This is like a one-time thing. So if you're interested in learning from one of the best in the world and getting all these architects together, it's going to be inspirational. You're going to learn techniques. You're going to get to shoot with them. I don't know what else to say. It's going to be fantastic. So I hope that you can make it. We are giving this special, but we're only running it for the next few days until October 1st, and then that's going to be it. So sign up now, get $50 off, go to outofchicago.com/events and sign up. So I hope we see you there, and I hope we see you walking around town for Open House Chicago. So until next time, I'm Chris Smith. Thank you for listening to the Out of Chicago Photography Podcast. We'll see you next time.